Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. This time, we're going to be taking a look at Fyodor Dostoevsky's The Idiot.
Oh, The Idiot.
Yeah, it's a book that,
It gets under your skin.
Yeah, it really does.
It's one of those that you finish and it just stays with you.
It really stays with you. And it's, I think one of the things that's so powerful about it is that it's full of these characters grappling with, really tough questions.
Yeah.
About life and love and what it even means to be a good person. It's,
What does it mean to be good?
What does it mean to be good? And there's no easy answers in this book.
No.
Dostoevsky does not give you any easy answers.
He really doesn't. And The Idiot is such a perfect example of that. I mean, it's one of those stories that you just can't shake off. It really makes you think.
So how do we even begin with The Idiot? I mean, it's a complex book.
It's a big one.
It's a big one. It could be a little overwhelming to just sort of jump into.
Right. So maybe the best place to start is with our main character, Prince Myshkin. He's just back in Russia. He's come back from Switzerland, where he's been for years being treated for epilepsy.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to St. Petersburg, and it's almost like he's like a blank slate ready to experience the world. And he has this just incredible innocence and openness.
And that innocence is such a huge time of what makes him the idiot, right?
Right.
It's not just that he's naive. He operates on a completely different level.
A different moral plane.
Yeah, than everyone else.
Exactly. Imagine, you've got this incredibly sincere, really compassionate person,
mm-hmm.
and he's suddenly thrust into this society that's so obsessed with status and wealth,
yeah.
appearances. I mean, it's just a recipe for disaster.
It really is.
And Dostoevsky really uses that tension. He milks it for all it's worth.
So we've got this innocent, almost saintly prince entering this world of chaos. Who are some of the other major characters he runs into?
Well, you've got Nastasya Philipovna. She's one of the most captivating and also tragic figures in the book. Beautiful, intelligent, but deeply troubled.
Yeah.
She's caught in this web of manipulation, and she's haunted by her past. And she ends up becoming this object of obsession for several men.
And one of them is Ganya, right?
Ganya, yeah. He's just torn between his love for Anastasia and then this desire for a respectable, socially acceptable life.
Yes, it's like
socially acceptable.
That struggle between, passion.
And societal pressure.
Yeah.
And you're right. That is a great observation. Ganya's not really a villain.
Right.
In the traditional sense, he's a product of his environment, and he's so aware of these social expectations.
Yeah.
He sees Nastasia as but alluring and also a threat to his ambition.
Yeah.
I think Dostoevsky does a great job of making us actually sympathize with Ganya's dilemma.
You do feel for it.
Even as we see how his choices are leading to this tragedy that unfolds.
We've got the prince, Nastasia, Ganya.
Right.
Then there's the Epanchin family.
Oh, the Epanchins.
They're
wealthy.
They're wealthy, they're prominent.
Prominent, yeah.
And their daughter Aglaya becomes very fascinated with Prince Myshkin.
Very much so. And Aglaya herself is such an interesting character. She's proud, captivating, smart.
Yeah.
And she sees something in Myshkin that everyone else seems to miss. Their relationship is full of this electric tension. There's attraction there, but then these moments when she almost deliberately humiliates him.
Yeah.
It's like she's testing his sincerity.
Right. And then, of course, there's Rogojin.
Oh, Rogojin.
You can't talk about The Idiot without talking about Rogojin. He is the dark, brooding, possessive.
Possessive, yeah.
Rival for Nastasia's affections.
Right.
His jealousy drives him to extremes. And there's this scene, one of the most famous in the novel, where Nastasia throws 100,000 rubles into a fire.
Into a fire.
Challenging Ganya to prove his love by pulling it out.
That scene, oh my goodness, that is such a powerful encapsulation.
It is.
Of all the novel's themes.
Yeah.
You've got Nastasia's just recklessness, Grania's desperation, this destructive power of obsession.
And the money.
And then this burning of money.
Which is everything this society values.
Yeah.
And it's like Dostoevsky is saying, look at how absurd this all is.
Look at this.
Yeah. It's also interesting, throughout the book, Dostoevsky drops these little hints about Prince Myshkin's past.
Right.
And
this potential inheritance.
Yeah, this inheritance that we don't really know where it is or what it is.
Shrouded in mystery.
Yeah. And then he has these recurring encounters with a pair of eyes.
With these unsettling eyes.
Yeah, that are really unsettling.
It gives you this feeling of drug, like something terrible is going to happen.
It's like, oh, this isn't good.
Right. It's so masterfully done.
It's so well done.
I mean, those eyes are such a brilliant, brilliant touch.
Yeah.
Because they're like this symbol of the darkness that's kind of lurking beneath the surface of everything.
Yeah.
This feeling that Myshkin's innocence, His naivete
is going to be challenged.
He's going to be challenged, right, in ways that he can't even imagine.
So we've got this whole web of, you know, relationships.
Right.
And at the center of it all is Prince Myshkin.
Poor Myshkin.
Trying to figure out how to navigate it all.
Yeah. And, you know, as a reader, you're left thinking, okay, how is his innocence going to hold up against all this darkness?
Right.
How's that going to play out?
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
That's a great question. And I think to even begin to answer that, you know, we need to look at a few key relationships.
Okay.
Like, specifically, the prince's dynamic with Aglaya.
Right.
Remember that weird encounter in the park where she kind of confronts him about Nastasia?
Oh, yeah.
It's a really strange scene.
Oh, that sun is packed. So much going on there.
Yeah. What do you see going on there?
Well, I mean, you see Aglaya's jealousy, her intelligence, her need to kind of confront him directly.
Yeah.
And then how does he react with his usual honesty, openness, and it somehow intrigues her even more.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
And then things really come to a head at Nastasia's house.
Oh, yeah.
When Aglaya shows up.
And Aglaya shows up. Confrontation time.
Yeah. And confronts both of them.
Yeah.
Nastasia and the prince. That's
talk about a powder keg.
It is a powder keg.
I mean, everything just comes to a head in that moment.
What are some of the things that you see happening there? What are some of the dynamics at play in that scene?
Well, you see Aglaya trying to break free
from
what society expects of her to assert herself.
Right.
And Nastasia, she's torn between the prince and then her own self-destructive tendencies.
Yeah.
And poor Myshkin.
He's caught in the middle.
He's right there in the middle, trying desperately to mediate.
Doesn't go well.
It doesn't go well. He ultimately fails.
And then in a really, really heartbreaking moment, Nastasia chooses to leave with Rogozhin.
With Rogozhin, yeah.
Even though the prince is pleading with her not to.
I know.
And she clearly has feelings for him.
And she has feelings for him.
It's like she knows she's making a bad decision.
It seems like she's knowingly making a choice that will destroy her.
Right.
And I think what makes it even more tragic is that she thinks she's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, that she's setting the prince free.
Yeah.
But she's actually choosing this path that's only going to lead to more heartbreak and despair.
So where does that leave Prince Myshkin?
Well, it's the start of his downfall. You know,
yeah.
This experience just shatters his worldview, his belief in the goodness of people.
Yeah.
And you see from this point on, the novel just takes on this darker tone.
It gets really dark.
Yeah. And you see him struggling to reconcile his ideals with what the world actually is.
Right. It's like his innocence is almost a curse in a way.
Almost like a curse. Yeah.
You know, it makes him vulnerable.
So vulnerable. Yeah.
To all these forces he doesn't really understand.
Right.
And he can't control.
He can't.
It's sad to watch it happen.
It is. It's very sad.
It's a really, really powerful part of the book.
It is. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good place to stop for now.
Okay.
We'll pick back up in the next part of our deep dive.
Sounds good.
And we'll see what ultimately becomes of our dear Prince Myshkin.
We'll see if he can survive all of this.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
It's going to be a tough road.
It could be a tough road. But join us next time.
Yeah, join us.
For part two of our deep dive into The Idiot. See you then.
See you then.
So, you know, before things get really, really dark with Myshkin, Dostoevsky throws in this little detail.
Oh, yeah.
About Myshkin possibly being an heir to a bunch of money.
Right. That's so interesting.
Yeah, it's this whole, you know, you've got this guy.
This selfless man.
Yeah, he doesn't care about material wealth.
Oh, right.
And then there's this possibility that he's going to be rich.
Like super rich.
Yeah. What do you think that, you know, would do to a guy like Myshkin?
Right. Would it corrupt him? Would it change how people see him?
Yeah.
How would he handle it?
Yeah. It's a big question.
Yeah, and it's one that Dostoevsky makes us think about.
Yeah.
Like, it's a test for him, you
know?
Yeah. Can he stay good? Can he keep his integrity when faced with all this?
Temptation. And it's not even just the temptation of money itself. It's the power.
Right, the influence.
That comes with it.
Yeah.
You know? And a guy like Myshkin, who's got this this strong sense of justice.
Right.
How would he deal with that?
That's a fascinating question. And then, you know, while all this is happening, he's dealing with these seizures that keep coming back.
Right.
It's almost like a physical manifestation of what he's going through.
Right. It's like his body's mirroring the turmoil.
Exactly.
You know, in his mind.
Exactly.
And knowing that Dostoevsky himself suffered from epilepsy.
Yeah.
It adds this whole other layer to it.
Oh, it definitely does. Dostoevsky really understood epilepsy. I mean, he knew the impact it had on people.
Both physically and
physically and mentally. I mean, he portrays the seizures themselves so vividly, you know, the convulsions, losing consciousness,
yeah,
but then also the social stigma,
right,
that came with it.
Yeah, it's not just a physical thing.
No, it was a social thing too.
This marker of
otherness.
Right. It sets him apart.
It makes him vulnerable.
Makes him so vulnerable. Yeah. People underestimate him, dismiss him as an idiot.
Right.
Because of it.
Because of his epilepsy.
Yeah.
And they miss the depth.
Right.
Of his empathy and how he sees the world.
Right. His unique perspective.
Yeah. You know, and that's one of the things I love about Dostoevsky's writing.
Yeah.
He's just a master at showing us how complex humans are.
Yeah.
The light and the dark.
Yeah.
You know, and the idiot in particular, he's dealing with so much innocence versus experience, the destructiveness of obsession, faith, redemption.
And it's all playing out in 19th century Russia.
Right, right.
Which was a society.
In upheaval.
Yeah, going through a lot of change. A
lot of change.
And Dostoevsky was really concerned with the issues of his time.
He was very much engaged with his time, you know?
Like, what were some of the... some of the issues that he was concerned with.
Oh, the gap between the rich and poor,
okay.
Nihilism, the struggle between faith and reason.
Yeah.
I mean, he was thinking about all of this.
So how does the idiot reflect those issues? Like, where do we see them?
Oh, it's all woven into the story. You've got Mishkin representing this Christ-like compassion and forgiveness.
Right.
And then you've got Rogozhin, who's consumed by jealousy, possessiveness,
yeah.
Ganya, who's stuck between ambition and love.
Yeah.
They each embody different aspects of Russian society.
Okay.
And their clashes, you know, expose all the contradictions and anxieties of that time.
Yeah, it's like he's holding a mirror
to his safari.
Forcing us to look at it, right? Yeah. But it's not just a critique, right? There's also this glimmer of hope.
I think there is.
This question of whether, you know, people can overcome their circumstances and find meaning in the chaos.
Can we transcend?
Yeah.
Can we find meaning? You know, those are the questions that stay with you.
Speaking of questions that stay with you.
Right.
Can we talk about the ending?
Okay.
I know we've said it's tragic.
Yeah.
But without giving too much away.
Right.
Can you just give us a sense of what happens to Mishkin?
Well, remember his innocence, his almost childlike innocence, everything he goes through, the betrayals, the heartbreak, the darkness, it takes a toll.
Yeah.
His epilepsy gets worse, he becomes withdrawn, and ultimately he kind of regresses almost into a state of mental incapacitation.
Wow. It's like the world is just too much for him.
It really was, yeah.
Yeah.
He couldn't handle it.
Is there anything redeeming about that?
I think there is.
Okay.
I think, in a way, his tragic end shows us how much society failed him.
Right.
He came out with so much love, so much openness.
Yeah.
And he was manipulated, exploited, destroyed.
Like his kindness was his undoing.
In a way, yeah. I mean, it's powerful. It's moving.
It's incredibly sad.
It is. Yeah.
So the idiot isn't just a personal tragedy.
Right.
It's this commentary on what it means to be human.
Right.
This potential for good and evil.
Yeah.
And it makes you think about the cost of compassion.
Yeah. In a world that doesn't always value it.
Right. Yeah, it's it's tough.
It's tough. The idiot doesn't shy away from that.
Yeah. I'm curious, you know, we've talked about Dostoevsky's epilepsy.
Right.
How do you think that shaped his portrayal of Mishkin's epilepsy?
I think it's impossible to separate the two.
Yeah.
You know, he goes beyond just the physical symptoms. Mm-hmm. He gets into the social stigma, how it made people feel like outsiders.
Right. Yeah.
Ostracized, even.
Right.
And for Mishkin, that sense of otherness is even stronger.
Right.
Because he's so kind, so naive. He doesn't fit in.
Yeah.
And his epilepsy makes that visible.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that just adds to the tragedy. Here's this guy who could have done so much good.
Right.
And he's broken by the very people.
Yeah.
He's trying to help.
Yeah, it's like his innocence is...
He's a liability in this world.
It's heartbreaking, but it's also... it's thought-provoking.
It really is. Yeah.
We've talked a lot about the male characters.
Right.
But we can't forget about Nastasia and Aglaya.
No, absolutely not.
They're such strong women.
They are, yeah.
They're both dealing with the constraints...
of society.
Yeah, of their society.
Yeah.
What do you think Dostoevsky was trying to say with these characters?
I think both of them defy categorization.
Okay.
You know, they're not just good or bad. They're human. They have desires, flaws,
right.
And they're both drawn to Mishkin,
mm-hmm.
but for different reasons.
Yeah, that's a good point. What do you think they see in him?
I think they see a genuine respect
Okay.
that they don't get from other men.
Right.
He doesn't try to possess them or control them,
Yep.
you know, put them in a box. He values who they are.
Right. Which might be part of the problem.
Right.
He loves them.
He does.
But he can't protect them
right
from the things that are going to hurt them.
From the world.
Yeah.
And that's the tragedy. They're looking for love, acceptance,
yeah.
freedom.
Yeah.
And their paths just lead to suffering.
Right.
Yeah.
And Mishkin is left to deal with the consequences.
Right.
And it ultimately destroys him.
It does. The Idiot is a powerful story.
It really is. It makes you think about good and evil, innocence and experience.
It does.
And it makes you think about how you would navigate a world like that.
Right. What choices would you make?
Yeah. It's a tough book.
It is a tough book, but it's so worth reading.
Yeah, it really is.
It stays with you.
It does. It stays with you. Well, I think that's a good place to stop for now.
Okay.
We'll pick back up in the next part of our deep dive.
Sounds good.
And we'll see what ultimately becomes of our dear Prince Mishkin.
We'll see if he can survive all of this.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
It's going to be a tough road.
It's going to be a tough road. But join us next time.
Yeah, join us.
For part three of our deep dive into The Idiot. See you then.
See you then.
Yeah, it really makes you think about how people try to, you know, find meaning in a world that can be so, so difficult.
Right. Absolutely.
What's so interesting to me is that Dostoevsky, he doesn't like tie everything up in a neat little bow at the end.
He doesn't.
He leaves you with
questions.
More questions than answers.
Right.
Which I think is part of what makes it such a powerful.
So powerful. Yeah. It's not a book you just read and forget about.
No.
It stays with you.
It really does.
It makes you think.
And it makes you go back and think about, you know, your own life.
Your own beliefs.
Your own values and how you, you know, see the world.
Right. It makes you question things.
Yeah. And one of the things that I keep coming back to is this idea of innocence.
Okay.
Can it even exist?
In a world like that.
Yeah. In the world that Dostoevsky's describing. Is Mishkin doomed from the start?
Right. Is he inevitable?
Yeah.
Because he's just a good person? Or good things have gone differently?
Yeah. Is it his goodness that destroys him?
I think that question has haunted readers for a long time.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It is.
It also makes you wonder if, you know, if there's a cost to compassion.
Okay.
You know, Mishkin wants to help. He wants to heal people.
Right.
But it destroys him.
Right. It's like his empathy becomes his downfall.
So is Dostoevsky saying that kindness and empathy are weaknesses?
That's a good question. I think he's wrestling with it. I don't think he's saying we should all be callous.
Right.
I think he's showing us how hard it is.
You stay human.
In a world that can be so cruel.
Right. It's a difficult balance.
It's a tough world out there.
It is.
So as we wrap up our deep dive here
okay.
on The Idiot,
yeah.
what's one thing you would want our listeners to take away from it?
I would say the importance of questioning.
Okay.
Don't just take things at face value.
Okay.
Look deeper. Consider different viewpoints. Be open to the idea that maybe there's more to the story than you initially see.
I like that. Question everything. Yeah.
And that's good advice, not just for reading, but for life in general.
For life.
Yeah. And, you know, if you haven't read The Idiot,
you should.
I highly recommend it.
Dagen.
It's a journey.
It is.
It'll stick with you.
It will.
And remember, there's no right or wrong way to interpret it.
That's the beauty of Dostoevsky.
Yeah.
He makes us think.
He really does.
About the big questions.
Yeah.
Life, love, faith. What does it mean to be human?
Well said. Well, until next time, fellow deep divers.
Until next time.
Keep exploring.
Keep questioning.
And keep those minds engaged.
Absolutely. A stay tuties.